listening to Fox Sports Radio.
So, RJ, you talked about this, and you mentioned it a couple of times last week when we talked about this Lions and Packers game on Monday Night Football, and we've talked about the officiating, how the game went, but still can't seem to figure out why the line was set where it was.
So let's talk about and set this, the table, because the end of the show yesterday is probably one of the most important things I've done, we've done, in over a year. What we did was we spent the entire last segment discussing how this line did not make sense. So the line was Green Bay favored by 3.5. 3.5, okay, home field's 3. No, Green Bay has, by some accounts, I would agree with this actually, the best home field in the NFL, the most significant. Seattle's in the mix. New Orleans is in the mix. I'd say those are the big three. Now, 4 points is a fair estimate. Fez, you agree with that, right?
I do.
Okay. Now, 4 points, if they're even, if the line's 3.5 Green Bay, that means Detroit is better. Now, think about this. How many people do you know that are NFL fans? They could bet, they might not. They might be really expert. They might not. How many people do you know that entered this week, you know, before this game, saying Detroit's better than Green Bay? Does anybody know anybody?
No.
No.
All right. Jonas, anyone?
No, nobody.
Yeah. I mean, I don't. Fez, we might think, oh, yeah, you know, that's the fans. That's the casual bettors. Fez is as connected, I'd say, to the middle managers, the middle pro bettors. And that's the thing to think about. There's really three stratas with pro bettors. One is the syndicates. They've got 6, 8, maybe 18 people working for them. Allegedly, Billy Walters was a good example of that. 60 Minutes did a piece. Just search for Billy Walters, 60 Minutes. Biggest batter, allegedly. I always say allegedly always with Billy Walters. A lot of respect, fear. So he is or was at the pinnacle. But there was and is other groups like that. Fez, if you had to guesstimate, and no one really knows, they don't want anyone to know, how many groups of substantial size that are getting down six figures on a game, not every game necessarily, but they're bigger games, how many of those do you think exist?
Over under 6.5, RJ.
Oh, that's interesting. Ken, you are very connected in Vegas. You have your radio show here. What would your number be?
Yeah, it's right around there. I mean, I follow Fezzik as far as X. I know he follows the big money, as does my buddy Chuck Edel. So
yeah,
right around there, 7 sounds good.
All right. So think about it. There's 6, 7 organizations is our estimate that have between 10 and 30 people working for them. And one of the guys that we had working for pregame.com for a couple years, and unfortunately he had an accident and passed away, Dave Malinsky, worked with Billy Walters for about 10 years. So off the record, I got some insight, and you know, it was an organization. It's just that simple. Some people were there to handicap certain sports, others for injuries, others for weather, maybe one for injuries, one for weather. Getting down was one of the keys. They got people across the country. At one point, allegedly, Billy Walters and that kind of syndicate group had a call center just across the border in California and Mexico. And true, yeah. So the theory was no laws against it. You know, I mean, a serious operation. By some estimates, Billy Walters won $300 million betting sports. So that's the guy. And now you've got a lot of artificial intelligence-driven programs and a lot of scientist types that are trying to do similar things. Then you've got Fezzik and that crowd. And I believe Fezzik is amongst, if not the best, of that middle crowd that doesn't want to work for anyone. They don't. If they wanted to work for someone, they'd be an actuary. They're going to be an outlaw. They're going to go to Reno in a disguise if they want. Right, Fez?
Any chance to get a lot of action in, you do what you got to do.
Exactly. Exactly. So, amongst those guys, they're betting, you know, some on a big game are betting 20,000. Others, you know, 2 or 3,000. Okay. Fez had Green Bay in this game. Early line move last Wednesday. He said, you know, I'm just going to throw one of my early tickets out there. Boom, on Twitter, $2,000 on Green Bay. Now, nothing to brag about right now, but still showing you what kind of scale we're talking. It's big. You know, someone bets $10,000 on a game, that's big money. But it's 1/10 or less of what the big syndicates. And then finally, you got the duct tape shoe guys. The guys that are just making their rent. And maybe they're at the plasma place now and again. But they are past ever being able to work for anyone. They're usually in their 50s. And their hygiene isn't great. I think we all, well, let's say around this table we know. Those guys are often very sharp. Right? But is it bankroll management? Is it they don't have enough bankroll to get enough ad? Whatever it is, they're struggling. And some of them are falling behind. That's why they can't buy new shoes. Fez, would you say that's a good overview?
A very good summary, RJ.
Be sure to catch live editions of Straight Outta Vegas weekdays at 6 p.m. Eastern, 3 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
All right, that's Steve Fezzik. I'm RJ Bell. We're talking about syndicates and professional bettors, which lead into what happened last night, because this was fascinating. Fez, of all the people you knew below the syndicate level, how many thought the Lions were the better team?
None.
None. Zero.
0.0.
So, to me, the question becomes, who in the heck was betting it? How in the heck was the line 3.5?
And I'm still,
yeah, go ahead.
I'm still struggling with it, RJ. And we, you know, we talked about it before the game even starts. Like, how is this line? How is the point spread dropping? Saying you laid it all out that Detroit is effectively the better team. Now I know Green Bay's best wide receiver Adams was out, but he's not worth nearly enough to flip this around and make Detroit better. Everyone I spoke to says, yeah, Green Bay, they're a top 10 team, and we can debate is Detroit. They're somewhere middle of the road. Are they the 14th best team? Are they the 17th best team? But no way is Detroit as good as Green Bay.
But somehow, some way, I think it's fair to say that Detroit looked a lot better than we would have expected. And that's the issue, which is when there's a line, and there's really two issues here, both super important. When there's a line that doesn't make sense to you, don't think of it as an opportunity. Be scared. Now, if you think a line is wrong and you can understand why, oh, they're overvaluing that. You know, I remember a game because, you know, this whole conversation, Colin reached out Goulet, his producer, did this morning and said, hey, what would the line be? You know, what kind of upgrade or downgrade if Cam came back? And I reached out to Fez, got his opinion, and the theory was that if Cam's 100% healthy, he's 2 points better than Allen, and if he's the healthy was early in the year, well, he's 2 points worse. I actually agree with that pretty much spot on. That was Fez's thoughts. Kudos. So, to me, that harkens back to the game where Cam was announced out, like on a Thursday or Wednesday, I think. And the line adjusted like 7 points, 6 points. And the line had already been adjusted, right? So, Fez, we looked at that and said, oh, that's one of our super contest picks, easy. And let's bet this thing. And it won. But why weren't we scared? Because we understood that the market, that the bettors were overvaluing Cam. We felt like the Cam we saw certainly couldn't be worth that much over any professional quarterback, really. Is that a fair assessment?
Yeah, and in retrospect, think about this. Carolina was +3 with Kyle Allen at Arizona. In what alternate universe could that line possibly have been right, RJ?
It wasn't, and we knew why it was wrong. We could have lost easily, though, but we knew why it was wrong, and we bet it proudly, took off the rubber band with no ambivalence, no apprehension. Well, yesterday, for the whole D segment, right before the top of the hour, I explained all the reasons I felt like Green Bay was better. And then I said, I'm not betting a penny on this. I'm not even betting Fez's bet. And the reason was simple. I can't explain why the line was what it was. And thus, that scared me. And I think in hindsight, It looks like the biggest bettors were much higher, the syndicates, on the Lions than anyone else. It could have been one. I mean, it could have been one syndicate saying we are making, you know, like a $3, $4 million stand on a game. They'll do that in the NFL. And that kind of money from that kind of syndicate isn't enough to balance the books, you know, to make it where the line would be artificially depressed or, you know, down to 3.5. But the bookies see who's betting it with both fists, an open order, as they say. And they say, okay, we'll get lopsided too on that side. We have no problem being, you know, the public can bet Green Bay. The other pros can bet Green Bay. If this group is betting this much, we are willing, because we only got to win 47.5%, right? Because they're 10 to win 11. You agree with that, Fez?
I do.
Why are you here?
You know, it's interesting, RJ, despite all that money that came in on Detroit, the point spread was still in question with the second to last play of the game where Green Bay could have scored the final touchdown.
So says the guy that had the Green Bay ticket. So what I'll say is, you're right. That's the whole point, is what makes this such a beguiling endeavor. Betting sports, handicapping sports, or being an astute fan, is that usually when you have the scientific method, you have a hypothesis, then there's a trial, and then you assess it, you grade it. Imagine shooting Brad Powers as a free throw champion, shooting free throws. What do? You shot him, you look, oh, okay, oh, long. Next time, oh, good, good. Now, I would throw a rock at you, get you off the line, then you have to go back up. But still, that's how you do it. But in betting, there's no such thing. You just get this not artificial, you get this imperfect result that we just concluded should have been Green Bay winning by more than the point spread. So fascinating, but take it with you. This is betting. This is life. If you don't know why you have an edge, there's probably someone trying to make you feel like you have an edge when you don't. Last thing, I'm looking to bet the Lions the next game, because whenever you see a syndicate or someone take that kind of stand, they know something fundamentally about that team that other people don't. And my guess is, and let me ask anyone here, would anyone want to bet me blind the next 5 Lions games? I'll take that they cover, you take that they don't. You know, we'll auto bet, you know, whatever per game. Does anyone want to fade the Lions?
No, I'm not betting. I'm not betting anybody at any point for the next several years.
That's the ultimate. Oh, I'm sorry. Who was jumping in?
RJ, I just wanted to interject. There were a couple guys on my show that did like the Lions, and the reason being, they said they should have been 4-0. They blew an 18-point lead to Arizona in the fourth quarter. They had Kansas City figured out outside of the 101-yard fumble return from the end zone, and then they thought that, you know, Detroit off the bye, they'd beaten Green Bay 4 in a row. Not going to be intimidated. They thought it was enough points for the Lions to get off and cover that game.
You know, it sounds like Fezzik, the way he all those excuses. It was like, well, there was this and there was that. No, listen, to me, tying Arizona wouldn't be necessarily, or giving up an 18-point lead isn't a selling point to me. But no, I think that they probably, the Lions, smart fans felt they were rated higher than maybe the casual fans did, but not better than Green Bay. And I'm not saying your guys did it. I'm just saying that was not even 10% of the people. So, and you know, there's always going to be an exception.
Be sure to catch live editions of Straight Outta Vegas weekdays at 6 p.m. Eastern, 3 p.m. Pacific.
It is a Thompson Tuesday here. Every Tuesday we get a best bet from Ken Thompson.
There you go. Oklahoma State's going to be the play. They come off a bye playing a Baylor team. Very fortunate to still be unbeaten. Somehow, some way, they are. They'll go to Stillwater. I think they're going to get their doors blown off. This is a good Oklahoma State team with the best running back in the country in Chuba Hubbard. Already 13 touchdowns on the ground. Expected possibly a little bit of rain, but the mullet, Gundy, will have the boys ready. Baylor, the bubble burst this week. Oklahoma State by double digits.
We'll have a best bet from Brad Powers coming up here in just one moment. We'll let you know Straight Out of Vegas is brought to you by AutoZone. AutoZone knows there are all different kinds of jobs out there. If you've got a today job, select free same-day store pickup. If you'd rather take care of the job tomorrow, you can order as late as 10 p.m. with the free next-day delivery on AutoZone.com. Get in the zone, AutoZone. Tuesday tradition here on Straight Out of Vegas. We get an early line move best bet from Brad Powers.
Yeah, and we're 5-0 on correctly predicting the line move here so far. 3-2 on the best bets. And this week's best bet, Florida minus six. Florida minus six. Let's first talk about Florida's opponent. We've been talking about it. It's South Carolina. We're going to fade what I believe the market is overreacting to that big upset win over Georgia. Market upgraded South Carolina too much after that big win. A game that I thought South Carolina absolutely should have covered, but shouldn't have won the game outright. And then on top of that, we cashed right here on Straight Out of Vegas, fading Florida last week. We took LSU, and I'm here to tell you, I felt very fortunate to cash a ticket with LSU. Why? Florida's last two possessions, they throw an interception in the end zone, and they get stopped on the two-yard line. If they just score on one of those, Florida gets the cover, not LSU. Add it all up. Best bet. Line move of the week. We're taking Florida minus six.
Okay, so Brad, are you going to donate your Florida win, or I'm sorry, your LSU win to charity?
No, I'm not, RJ.
Okay, so fortune didn't bother you. Just like, give it to me, I'm moving on.
Yeah, fair enough.
I tell you this, you are going to feel so smart. Because, Jonas, here's what you got to know about these batters. There's a certain ego to it that's necessary. If you don't have that ego, you can't believe you can lay minus 110 versus the world. That's what a bettor's doing. Everyone else gets to try to affect the line, and you have to lay 110 against that line. That is not easy. But if you can go against a team one week and then on them the next, you look a little like a magician, and these guys love that. Love it. High level of difficulty here.
Fox Sports Radio has the best sports talk lineup in the nation. Catch all of our shows at foxsportsradio.com. And within the iHeartRadio app, search FSR to listen live.